This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you.
Do you have any idea the history of curling? It's not something I imagine is very popular in Australia.
It's not a word I've heard in many years, and it's certainly not a sport I've ever seen in Australia.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. The Canadians love it. They're very, very attached to their curlings, if that's even the way that we speak about it. I don't even have the language for it, but today is International Curling Day, so we're just trying to find out a little bit more. Either way, tell us a very, very perplexing first story, or not perplexing, just odd, vaccine rollout explained in Hebrew.
Well, yes. So we have in this country a number of free-to-air television channels and media. And one of them is called SBS, which is short for Special Broadcasting Services. This is like what we would call the ABC or the SABC in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So it's a government, it's independent, but funded by the Australian government. And its charter is to speak to the 200 or so different ethnic communities in this country. Overwhelmingly, it has radio, it has television, it has online. It's a full-fledged network service. Overwhelmingly, its platforms are in English. However, it also delivers programming in approximately 70, that's 70 languages. And not only does it give in-depth programs in those languages, its international coverage, also focuses in-depth on if we're talking about the Vietnamese communities, there'll be in-depth news coming from Vietnam and Greece.
So it reaches the different groups living within Australia.
Exactly, so that they are well catered for. And so in terms of the COVID vaccine, yesterday, Monday, was the first day in which the vaccine has begun to be rolled out, and the government has identified category A, B, C, etc., and A being, I'm sure, no different to most other countries, A being frontline medical services, people who are in aged care, etc., etc. And so just today, SBS, this multicultural broadcaster, radio, television, online, has released a video in more than 60, that's 60 languages, 60, explaining how the vaccine is being rolled out, informing communities where they can go to get their vaccination and when they will be in line to get it, etc. And one of those 60 languages is Hebrew. And so this is a government initiative coming through this multicultural broadcaster. So basically with a brief of making as many Australians as possible aware of where to go, how to get vaccinated, and where they'll be in line. So just, great to see that Hebrew is one of the languages identified as being, as being important and being right up there in today's rollout.
Incredible. That's really, really amazing. When I looked at this and saw that you wanted to talk about it, I thought this makes absolutely no sense to me, but now it certainly does. Taking futuristic steps to preserve Holocaust survivor stories. Tell us about that.
So this is a remarkable story. So as we mentioned before in this program, 27,000 Holocaust survivors came to this country in the immediate years post the Holocaust, post World War II. And obviously, sadly, those numbers have severely diminished, and where today we have in Australia around 7,000 Holocaust survivors left. And obviously they are in their late ages. And so what the Sydney Jewish Museum, which is in the main a Holocaust museum, a world-class Holocaust museum, has embarked on and this program might be happening in South Africa for all I know, and apologies if it is, but in collaboration with the University of Southern California's Shoah Foundation, it has been interviewing Holocaust survivors, and it's selected, horrible use of words, I apologize. It invited six survivors to be part of this program, which has interviewed them each with over 1,000 questions, over 100 hours each, to put them and to create a hologram.
That's a
hologram.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. So each survivor was filmed, as I say, 1,000 questions over a period of 5 days, where they were asked every possible question, like I said, 1,000 questions each. So that's everything from, you know, what did you think? What did you eat? What did you, you know, if they were wearing socks, which we know they weren't, what color were they? Every possible question. So that in time when school kids in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years come through the museum and they want to speak to, in quotes, a survivor and ask them all sorts of questions, those questions have been programmed and the survivor has actually answered them and in the form of a hologram. So it's a very expensive program, as in the budget I saw for this was $3 million.
Incredible.
And half a dozen survivors have taken part in it. The ages of these particular survivors are 100, 93, 93, 92, 82, and 82. And telling their stories and answering, as I say, all manner of questions and putting them onto holograms. So it's a admirable program. It's a very ambitious program. And as I say, it's literally in these days, because it's been going on now for some weeks and months, and they're on the point of concluding. And by the way, they used 23 cameras so that they've just...
Yeah, so they can give this whole realistic, create a real person around it.
Exactly right. And so that when somebody wants to interview Eddie Jaku, who's 100 years old, who's one of the survivors who was interviewed, and they call up the hologram and you ask whatever question you want, and there is Eddie, as it were, answering your questions. So it's high tech, it's futuristic, but it's a fabulous program, and it's the world which it's something which needs to happen, and you know, for very, very obvious reasons.
Incredible, and it's really amazing what Australia is doing in this regard. I guess as well, because there was such a strong Holocaust survivor community there, this follows, but it isn't that they were just there and that they were looked after there and they rebuilt their lives there, but they've actually been cherished. There's a sense in Australia that the Holocaust survivors are so highly valued and cherished and looked after, that it's really very heartwarming to see.
You're 100% right, Howard, and that is an excellent word that you've just chosen there to describe how they are regarded here. And it's an exceptionally Holocaust-aware community. And as I've mentioned before, outside of Israel, Australia has had the highest percentage of Holocaust survivors of any Jewish community in the world. Outside
incredible.
Of Israel.
Really,
and so,
incredible.
And obviously the survivors, the numbers have diminished, but what we refer to, and not obviously not only in Australia, but second generation, third generation, it's an exceptionally Holocaust aware community percolating right through the ages and the demographics. And this program, this hologram program is very much evidence of exactly that.
Finally, a Russian Israeli makes it to the semi-finals of the Australian Open.
Exactly. Fabulous story. So we had the Australian Open tennis championships just last week, and this is one of the Grand Slam, tournaments. And who knew? A Jewish Israeli Russian gets to the semi-finals. Now, unfortunately, he had to come up against the world's number one, Novak Djokovic. So he came second in the semifinals. The score was 6-4, 6-3, 6-2 against him. Nevertheless, a fabulous story. His name was Aslan Karatsev. Must confess, I never heard of him before the Australian Open. But he was born in Russia, moved to Israel as a three-year-old with his family, grew up in Israel, began to play tennis in Tel Aviv, and at the age of 12 moved back to Russia with his father because he felt that there wasn't enough tennis opportunity in Israel. His mother father remained in Israel. His sister remained in Israel. But since the age of 12, and he's now 27, he's been living in Russia, represented Russia. And when the coverage, the television coverage of the tournament, the commentators refer to him as, you know, the Russian, Aslan Karatsev. But we all know he's Jewish, he's Israeli, Russian, etc. So, and by the way, on the way to the semifinals, he defeated another Jewish player, Diego Schwartzman from Argentina. So, just on the way, but also part of the amazing story, going into this tournament, he was ranked 114 in the world, you know, and then here he came up against the number one. So understandably, he came second, but he's now ranked in the top 50 because he did so well. So, you know, just a fabulous story in the sports arena.
It really, really is. Unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. It is 6:28. Vic Alladeff, thank you. As always, our Australia correspondent, CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, chatting to us every Tuesday.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.